Last week we talked about the width. The width of his love is, the dimensions is boundless. There is nobody that God says you're outside of love. There's nobody who God says, as horrific as the situations that you have done, the way you've put what things you have finished and put in your life, you're outside of my love. The width of his love extends there. The length of his love is what will he do to the lengths he goes to show us his love. And we looked at Hosea, who married a woman who was unfaithful, and he had children with Gomer, and then after he had a family, had kids, Gomer leaves Hosea, and she goes and she sleeps around with a bunch of men, and this lifestyle choice left her now where she's sold into slavery. And God says, go buy her back and love her. And you go, are you kidding me? Look what she's done to her family. Look what she's done to her marriage. Look what she's done to her life. She's messed it up. No pun intended. She made her bed, lie in it. That's just her choice. But God says, I'm going to demonstrate my love for people by saying this. Go and marry her back. Go buy her back and love her. The lengths that God goes to for us to know his love is amazing. The height of his love, God never oppresses. God never puts down. God never squashes us. God never says, I am God, do what I say. But he lifts us up. God's love always lifts us higher. And the depths of his love is this, that God is all in with you. No matter, you can spit in his face. You can say, I don't care about you. You're not real. I don't love you. And God says, I don't care. I'm all in. I'm all in. Because the depth of my love for you, it's just fathomless. I will never stop loving you, and you can do whatever you want, but I'm never going to stop loving you. Amen. Now, Paul gets to this, okay, why this amazing prayer? So why is he praying this? And now he comes to the conclusion. Here it is. Here's what he's been praying for, and here's what the results is this. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I love this. Paul does this play on words. To know something that's beyond knowledge. To know it. And here's what I want you to grasp. This word know, here's what it carries the idea. I want you to know his love, and here's the words, as it really is. Not just an opinion of it. I want you to know his love as it really is, and not just a thought or an opinion or what someone else said. Even beyond what I say, me today, God wants you to know his love as it really is, even though his love is beyond the ability to comprehend or apprehend intellectually. And Paul recognizes that we are never going to be able to grasp God's love because it's His infinite love is so amazing, but just because we don't get it here doesn't mean we can't experience it and live it fully. Amen. So we'll never fully grasp it, but we can live in it fully as we understand his love as it really is. That's what he wants for you. He wants you to grasp it through experience. He wants you to grasp it through real life. And here's the other thing. Not only from him, but as we grasp it, how high and wide and deep and long is his love. Now, as we grasp that and experience it, now we give to each other that same kind of love. And now it comes here, and now we start looking at people and saying, you are not beyond the grasp of God's love. You are not beyond. And you look at people and you say, hey, what can I say to lift you up? I never want to tear you down because love never does that. Love lifts up. I'm going to speak life to you. I'm not going to rip you apart. That I'm all in relationship. That we're all in. We're not going to be in and out. We're not going to be flaky when it comes to relationships, but we're going to go all in. And you know what? The patience, the length that we'll go to love people only can come as we receive that kind of love from God. Wow. Do you think our world would be just a bit different if we as followers of Jesus Christ express that to a world?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be. So, here we go. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be filled to the fullness of God's love. Now, it's important we grasp this, because I've read this verse a lot, and it seems overwhelming that we could be filled to the measure. And what Paul doesn't say is this, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. See, the measuring isn't from God's point of view. The measuring is from our point of view. So, Paul is saying this, that you and I may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God is full of love. What he is looking for are a people who are willing, and here's what the word suggests, the process, the progress, and the enlarging of our inner person to be able to receive more of God's love for our lives.
Amen.
He's not the issue. We are. I brought these with me because here's what Paul is saying, really. Can you see the thimble? All of these are vessels. All of these can carry something. And what Paul is trying to get to us to understand is that whatever room we make for God, he will fill that. So right now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've accepted him as your personal Savior, you are right now filled to the fullness of God. Right now. He has filled you with all of his fullness. But the issue is not, can God do this? The issue is, how much room do we make for him? Because he can only fill what is empty. He cannot fill something that is already full. So what God does, God offers himself to say, if this is what you want me to fill you with, I got you covered. I'm going to fill you to the brim. But then what he does in his love, he begins to make room. And this is what Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It means to be at home. It means to feel like every area of my life, God is there. Jesus is there. So in my work life, in my home life, in my thought life, in my family life, in my single life, in every part of my life, Christ is at home right there. And what takes place is that as God occupies more and more of our lives, he begins to fill more and more of our lives. So now we find a more of a fulfillment of God in our lives. Now we see his love in greater ways. Now when we watch the news, we don't look with a critical eye, but we look through the eyes of beauty and grace, that God's love is expanded to people who don't deserve it because we're being filled. But then he begins to occupy more and more of our lives. And now what takes place is that instead of him just being a thimble full of fullness, now he becomes the occupier of more and more and more of our lives.
Amen.
And it never runs out. It never runs empty. God can never say, okay, that's it. That's all you got. He wants to continually fill our lives. Now, real quick, Philippians chapter 3, we see Paul explaining this process. And I'm just going to give you the verses. I'm just going to give you the thought. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul begins to talk about his journey. And he says this, I have more confidence than anybody when it comes to legalistic righteousness because I was better than everybody else. So he said, I was born in the tribes of Israel. I was Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day. He was highly moving up in the ranks. He was persecuting the church for righteousness. He was faultless in his following God. And Paul was an up-and-comer. Paul was this guy who was going to make a name for himself. Paul was this guy that people were going to point to and say, this is the next big deal in the Hebrew world. Paul was, as they call it today, a high-capacity leader. He was going to get paid by parents to have him train their children. Paul was going to be wealthy. He was going to be popular. He was going to be important. He was going to be everything he wanted to be, crafted where he was going to go. Paul was going to be that guy until he met Christ. And in Acts chapter 9, he is knocked off his horse and he says, "Who are you, Lord?" Because his voice says, "Why do you persecute me?" And Paul says, "I don't even know you. Who are you?" And he goes, "I am Jesus who you're persecuting." And then he gets baptized in water. Now, and then he begins to live for Jesus. And in Philippians, he had been serving God for quite a while. And listen with me in Philippians chapter 3. Oh my, Philippians chapter 3, listen to what he says, these familiar words. So understand, he was all about himself. Paul, at best, would have been here. At best, Paul was so full of himself that God had very little room to occupy in his life. And though he was serving God, and though he was a follower of God, God was not there. And look what he says in Philippians 3. Now he encounters Jesus and he says this, "But whatever is to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish." The NIV is very kind there. The word actually means poo. Okay, dung for us Christians. "That I may gain Christ." Look at the difference. We can finish this off. Paul went from, it's all about me. He encounters Jesus, is living with Jesus, and what takes place? He's saying, now I see it. Now that I've been apprehended by him, now that I have been accepted by him, now that I know his love, all this stuff that I gave my life to is poo. All that matters, the core of my life is this. I want to know Jesus. And you see, dear ones, that's the core of your life. I want to know Jesus. It doesn't mean you don't have all these other things going on. It doesn't mean we live in a monastery somewhere far away from people. It doesn't mean our life is perfect because Paul's writing from prison. You still have relationships to work through. You still have a job to go to. You still have neighbors you got to deal with. You still have all these things you have to go through. But here's the thing. Is the core of your heart saying this? I want to know Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is trying to write to the Ephesians. That's what he's trying to tell them, that nothing else matters except knowing Jesus Christ in the fullness of who he is. And Paul says, power of his resurrection or fellowship and suffering. You see, dear ones, listen. When the core of your life is to know Jesus Christ, you even look at problems differently.
Yes.
How can I know Jesus in suffering? How can I know Jesus when that tragedy hits? How can I know Jesus when that bill's not paid? How can I know Jesus? Because if that's your core, I want to know Jesus. When life is going great, I want to know Jesus. When life is just phenomenal, I want to know Jesus. And when life takes a turn, I want to know Jesus. Then your heart is solid because it's not about out here. It's what he's doing on your inner being. And then I love what Paul has to say. He goes, but I've not obtained this yet. I've not already been made perfect. So dear ones, here's Paul who was taken up to the third heavens, taught by Jesus himself. He saw things that you can't even talk about. He had encounters in the heavenly realms that no one else here on earth has seen. It's just amazing. And he says, this is my heart's core. I want to know Jesus, but I haven't achieved that yet. Why? Because Jesus' love goes beyond our knowledge, our ability to comprehend. It goes beyond. We don't come an end to it. So Paul says, here's what I do. I forget, I neglect yesterday. I forget the past. And I just keep going after this one thing which Christ has called me heavenward. And what is it? To know him. And he says, all of us who are mature, you'll have that same view. If you know, to know if you're mature in God is basically very, very simple. Is your heart's cry, no matter what's going on in your life, I want to know him. That's what mature people do. That's what how mature people live. I want to know him. And then he says this, but if you think different, even God will take care of that. Isn't it amazing? God is so into, and this is what Paul's writing in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. God is so into us knowing him. That's the key to everything. to know Jesus. If you don't have a desire to know Jesus, okay? If your heart cry is like, Mike, I've got things to do. I can't just sit around and pray all day. Paul's not talking about that. But I really have a desire. Then say, okay, God, I might be right here. Fill me here, but would you make some space so I can go here? And would you continue to make space in my heart so that I can know you as you really are? And God will fill you to the measure you give him. One thing I love about my Jesus is that when I accepted him as my personal Savior, he didn't come into my life as an occupying force. He didn't come in and say, okay, now that I'm here, I'm going to start tearing this out of your life. I'm going to rip this out of your life. You're going to have to give that up. You need to knock that off. You need to quit that. He didn't just start ripping me apart. Revelation 3 gives us this beautiful way in which Jesus deals with our lives. And he's talking to followers of Christ. He's talking to what we would term Christians. And Jesus says this. He goes, here I am. I stand at the door and I think about this for a moment. Think about it. God submits himself to us. He doesn't kick the door down. He doesn't barge in. He goes, I'm here. And I'm knocking. He who hears my voice opens the door. I'm going to come in and we're going to have dinner together. I'm going to eat with you and you're going to eat with me. What does that represent? It represents an intimate fellowship between people. It means there's an intimacy between you. And this blows me in my mind again. God who spoke the world into existence, God who knows every star by name, God who gets everything, and the all-powerful God says, I'm here. You have a decision. You have the choice. I'm giving you the right. You can open the door or you can ignore me. He submits himself to us. Wow. The more we allow him to fill us, the more our heart's desire becomes like, wait, this isn't what life is about. This is what life is about. You guys okay? Good. So, as we grasp the width, the length, the height, and the depth of his love, what it does, it enlarges our hearts and our being. So the fullness is to the degree of room. The fullness is to the degree. Hey, guys, Isaac, don't even worry about following me, okay? I'm good right now. So what does this look like? Jesus is our example. How do I know, Mike, if I'm being filled with the fullness of love? How do I know that? Victoria, you had no idea. But when we talked, when he sang, I surrender, I want to know you more. That is exactly what it was with Jesus. Jesus fully surrendered his life to the Father. And Jesus fully obeyed his Father. Think about this for a moment. Everything I say, everything I do, my dad tells me what to say and do. How do you know that you're moving ahead? How do you know you're moving up? It's through a life of surrender and a life of obedience in love. And Jesus is our example. Now, Jesus lived in the fullness. John says that when he saw the Son, he said he was given the Spirit without measure. That because Jesus lived a life of obedience to the Father knew that Jesus loved him, so he gave him all of his authority. There was nothing of the Father that was reserved. Jesus is the only one who's carried all the fullness of God within him because he was a man of full surrender and full obedience to his Father. And Philippians 2 says, even to death on a cross. So Jesus, John recognized in his life that this man, Jesus, He carries a fullness of the Holy Spirit. He carries a fullness of God, that he was full of God. We are process, progress, enlarging. We are in this process the rest of our lives. So what we have to recognize is this. John said this about Jesus. When he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. How many's ever heard that verse before? Okay. And with fire. Okay. Read a lot of commentaries on this. But I think one of the things that John could be referring to is this. One of the things that fire does, fire makes space and makes room for something new to grow. So if you got a forest that's got a bunch of underbrush and undergrowth, nothing new can grow. But what Holy Spirit does is he comes within our hearts and he burns out all those things that have collected so that we can, and I know a mix of metaphors, so that we can have more growth, that we can be filled with more of him. So here's the question today. What are you filled with? See, I can be filled with anger. I can be filled with anxiety. I can be filled with worry. I can be filled with hurt. I can be filled with, and Pastor Jeff's doing a great teaching on offense. We can be filled with offense. We can be filled with all these things. And what that does, it crowds out room for God to fill us. It crowds out that ability for God because he can't fill what is already full. So what does he do? He comes at and he knocks. And he says, I'm here. I'm here. And that could be on a Tuesday morning. That could be on a Wednesday afternoon. That could be on a Thursday night. It can be any time where God is saying, wait a sec here. That anger that's not right now, that anger that you're feeling that is not justified, when you start yelling at the television set because of what somebody's saying, that's not a healthy anger. Instead of being filled with that, why don't you at this point allow me to fill you with my love? Why don't you take that time when someone cuts you off and you want to just kind of give them the tall man and, you know, take that moment and say, Holy Spirit, you don't want to be filled with that frustration. You want me to be filled with you. And I welcome you right now. Jesus, I hear you knocking. Fill me with you. Because I can only be filled to the measure of what I allow you to be filled, allow you to fill me with. Are you worried about the future? It's hard to be filled with love when you're worried about the future. Are you anxious about something? It could be anything. It could be bitterness. It could be unforgiveness. It could be anything that we're filled with. When you see that, it could be anything. And God says, I'll fill whatever you give me. And dear family, I believe we're not these kind of folk. I believe if I could have got a 50-gallon barrel, I would have brought it, right? This is about the biggest thing I had. I would have brought in like this, I would have wheeled it in and say, I want to be filled to this much, you know, right? I want the fullness of God. Well, he will fill us to the fullness. Wow. Wow, isn't that cool? Isn't God amazing? Isn't it amazing? He submits this, and understand, he's God, but he submits to us and doesn't say, you better knock that off or I'm going to whack you. No, his love is too high and wide and deep and long. If love doesn't change or motivate us, then nothing else will. But I believe we're a people that are saying, God, you can have it all. I surrender. This week, when you feel this discouragement come on, or things aren't going to change or whatever, that's Holy Spirit's prompting. That's Jesus knocking, saying, come on, let's have fellowship about that. Let's not live that way. Let's have fellowship about that, and let's be done. High five somebody and say, he's almost done. He's like Eva. He's almost done. Don't say yay. I'll go on another third. Well, you'd all walk out on me, so let's not do that, because that chili's smelling pretty good. Now to him is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to the power work within us. Paul's wrote this letter. The Ephesians are reading it. So this wasn't, they were just, hey guys, we got a letter from Paul. Let's get together. And as he's communicating what God wants to do, Paul, are you asking for too much? Is this too big? And Paul's saying, absolutely not. You and I can't even come close to asking or imagining what God wants to do in our lives. We shoot really low. When I read this as a kid, I read this as, man, I want a car. I want a big house. Man, I can imagine big stuff. But in the context, it's about knowing his love. That he wants you to know his love more than you do. And he has put the Holy Spirit within you, power within you, to make this happen. So you are not a victim to what other people say. You're not a victim to your past. You're not a victim to bad choices. You're not a victim to where I'll never change. You're not a victim, no, because God has given you Holy Spirit. You're not a victim because you're a little bit older and you can't move as fast. You're not a victim to whatever circumstances you have. You're not a victim because of nationality. You're not a victim because of life circumstances. You are not a victim. That God can do something in your life greater than you can imagine because he's already given you the power to have it happen by the person of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to live in this meager, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm not going to be anything, I'm a worm. That's a bunch of poo. Sorry. I was going, who said poo with me? Who was that? Thank you. You knew exactly. Shaka. Okay. It's a bunch of poo. We got to know who we are. That's Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. We got to know who we are in Christ. And God is just saying, man, when... This is a beautiful way to live, and it gets even bigger, and it gets even greater, and he becomes, and all in all, and guess what happens? Now we start living with each other this way. Now we love. There's no shame. There's no guilt. There's nothing like that. It's all based on love. Stand with me. I got to be done. Paul says, let there be glory in the church and through Jesus Christ forever and ever throughout eternity. Look me in the eye for just one moment. Do you realize that you as followers of Christ, you carry a power in your life. Only what you carry will reverberate throughout eternity. Do you understand that when you just simply love somebody, it's going to reverberate throughout eternity? It's going to be talked about throughout eternity. It's going to be like, ya. Nothing else will last through eternity. But when we get this, as we are getting this, the love, as he is filling us with more of his love, and we are loving people, throughout all eternity, it's going to ring. Let's give our lives to what lasts for eternity, eh?
Yes.
Right? I need some chili. I could say that's going to reverberate throughout eternity, but that wouldn't be appropriate. But I went ahead and said it anyways because I got into rubbish and poo. Sorry. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take 2 seconds. No, let's take 10 seconds. Calm our hearts. Take a breath. Breathe in deeply and breathe out slowly. And Jesus said, I'm here. I'm here. I'm knocking. I want to have a more intimate relationship with you. Is there any area of your life that you've closed the door where you've said, no, this is mine? These are my plans. This is my future. This is my hurt. This is my regret. Is there any area where you've closed the door and you hear Jesus not barging down the door? But you hear him knocking the door saying, here I am. Can you hear my voice? Can you hear that internal voice saying, I want to come into that area and have relationship with you. I want to come in and I want us to have ability to enlarge that area. Are you holding on to any unforgiveness? Are you holding on to bitterness, regret, shame, fear, worry, anxiety. Let's just give the moment for Holy Spirit to let you hear the voice of Jesus who loves you saying, I'm here. Okay, it doesn't sound spiritual, but let's go eat some chili. Come on. Love on somebody. Would you bless them in the name of the Lord?